Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship you.
Thank you,
In
Father.
Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's continue in that attitude of worship once again. Let's extend our hearts towards the Lord in thanksgiving. He is Jehovah, the Lord who gives us victory. You and I are here because somebody else fought the battle for us. The great God who is mighty in battle, he fought the battle for us upon the cross. And therefore we are here. Why don't we offer a heart of thanksgiving unto the Lord? Father, thank you. Thank you. I am here this victory night because you are victorious on the cross. I have come to take portion of my victory yet again because you remain victorious. You are the God who gives us victory. Father, we say thank you. Thank you for the life that you have called us into, a life of victory, a life of peace and abundance. Father, thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. You are the God who is great in battle, but you humbled yourself on the cross, O Lord God, for my sake. For my sake, O Lord God, you humbled yourself. The God who is the creator of the heaven and the earth, the possessor of heaven and the earth, the one who rules all things, made himself in the form of a servant, took on the form of a slave, took on the form, humbled himself on the cross for my sake, that I may have victory. Lord, I say thank you. Holy and exalted one that you are, Jesus. Lord, you have been given a name that is above every other name because you are the holy anointed one. Lord, we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, once again for this time that you have given us to come into your presence, to remember your victory and to celebrate it yet again. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Let's be seated in God's presence. Welcome your neighbor. Glad to see you in the house of the Lord. Glad to see you in your Father's house. Welcome. Let's be welcome in the presence of the Lord. If there's anyone who's here for the first time, anyone who's here for the first time, may I see your hands, please? Is there anyone? Church, let's welcome the sister. Please, sister, remain standing. Sister, this is the Bread of Life Fellowship. We meet here every Friday, actually, from 11:45 to 1:45. This program that we are having is our monthly Victory Night service. Okay? And more details about our church, we will be letting you know. You are welcome in God's presence. You may please be seated. Let's extend our prayers to the sister. Let's raise our hands towards her. And let's ask God to bless her. God has brought her with a purpose here. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this, your daughter, that you have brought into your midst today. Lord, I pray, Father, that as she's here in your presence, she will know your manifest presence in the name of Jesus Christ. That she shall know the truth. The truth shall always keep her free in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for drawing her yourself to you, O Lord God. I pray, Father, that you will bless her in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. All right. I wanted to ask a question to us. Are you a customer or are you a consumer? A customer or a consumer? Now, let me explain that difference, right? My wife was a customer at the supermarket, okay? She brought vegetables, and I became a consumer of fried rice that she made. She paid the price, I ate it, okay? I was a customer in a restaurant a few days back. I bought chicken biryani. She became the consumer, I paid the price. What's the difference? The difference is a customer gets something, he can either or she can either sell it, right? But a consumer is the end user of that which is being sold, purchased. The transaction is not borne by the consumer usually. It's usually the customer, and if he consumes it, he becomes a consumer as well. All I needed to do as a consumer was to feed on that which meets my need. Right? I was hungry. Somebody brought something. I ate. When I'm a consumer, I'm really not bothered to pay for it. There are needs that are met where you and I don't pay, where there are transactions that has already happened. Amen? Ask your neighbor, are you a consumer today? Are you a consumer today? Or are you a customer today? Have you come to transact something today? Ask your neighbor, have you come to transact something today? Come on. Right. But see, God acknowledges that we have a need. How many of us agree? God knows that we have a need. Throughout the Bible, throughout the Gospels, the Lord Jesus met the needs of many. On many occasions, the Lord met the needs of many. There were healing needs that were voiced. Blind Bartimaeus. What did he do, children? What did he do? He shouted. He said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And that stopped Jesus on the path, and he healed him. Jesus asked him, "What do you need?" Right? There were some of them that was unvoiced. Like the woman with the issue of blood. We see that in Mark chapter 5, verse 25. She didn't even ask God anything, but she just touched the hem of the garment and she received her healing. Some of us come silently here, but the Lord is here to meet your need. Some didn't want to approach him directly, like the centurion. He said, "Lord, I'm not worthy to come and call you. I'm sending someone. And by the way, you don't need to come. You just need to send your word and my servant will be healed." He didn't even come. Some didn't even leave him with their needs. We see that in Mark 7, verse 26. We don't need to read there. There was a woman, a Syrophoenician woman, whom the Lord said, "I am here to attend to the needs of the children of Israel. I am not here to feed the dogs." And she said, "Lord, even your crumbs, the dogs get to eat from the crumbs of the master's table." And in that instant, her need was met. Some were material needs. Like when someone asked Peter, "Will you pay temple tax?" And that's when Peter realized, oh, there's something like that. I have to pay my tax. And what did the Lord do? He said, "Peter, go cast your net. The fish that you catch, from its mouth you will get a coin. You pay it for you and for me." His need was met there. Some were spiritual needs, like Martha and Mary. Martha was so busy, but Mary was sitting at the feet of the Lord to hear from her. She wanted her spirit to be refreshed. And the Lord said, "This will not be taken away from you." That hunger that you have for the Lord will never be taken away from you if you are found at the feet of Jesus. Amen. In most cases, the Lord met the needs of those who came to him. except the rich young ruler, which is another day's meditation. We are not going to be looking at it today. Now, these were individual. There were groups that came to the Lord, and he met their needs as well. As in the case of feeding of 5,000, how many of us are familiar with that incident? It's not a story. It's an incident in the Bible where there were... Can I see your hands, please, so that I know all of us are awake? If you know that incident, right? Now, for some of us who are not aware of that incident, there were a set of people, in fact, 5,000 men, which means there were much more. Jesus was teaching, and some people came, they kept on gathering over there, and suddenly the disciples realized there was a need. The people who were gathered there did not realize, the disciples realized, and they being very smart, what did they say? In Luke 9, if we can open our Bibles, Luke 9, verse 12. Luke 9, verse 12, it's there on our screen as well. Now, when the day was ending, the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat. For here we are in a desolate place." What did the disciples do? As soon as they saw that there was a big need, they knew we are no customers. We don't have the flus. We don't have the money to make this transaction and meet the need of these people. Lord, send them away while it's early. And they were very concerned. Send them away so that they can find a place far away from here, find a lodging, find food also. Sometimes when things are not, we are not capable enough to meet someone's need, we give good advice. Yeah? We give advice saying, this is a solution that you can do. Don't ask me, don't come to me. Go a little far away and there you will find the solution. But the Lord used that. What did he do? He said, you feed them. And the incident goes on like this. These people find among them 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They bring it to the Lord. And what does the Lord do? The Lord raises it up to heaven. He says, make those 5,000 people sit in groups of 50 or 100. Now that sitting is not just sitting. He said, make them recline. Which means to say, as if they're going to have a feast, you make them sit. And that's what God can do to make and meet someone's need. He makes them feast like princes when they have nothing. That is what is possible with him. Amen? I thought you would be excited about that. You guys are more spiritual, I think. That's good. Then, what did he do? He said, when he started doing that, the bread just kept on multiplying, that there were 12 baskets left, and he said, gather them, it will be of use to us. Right? But then, what we see from this incident, let's just go after that. When he gives all this for them, it doesn't seem as if they are all satisfied. Though the Bible says they all ate and they were filled. On another day, we would have said, sermon over, finish, let's go home. No. Today we are not here for that. That incident doesn't finish with just the people returning and the Lord going about his work. In fact, if we follow him in John, there is more that the Lord wants us to know. And so, today we would be meditating on the topic of victory over needs. Some of us have need for victory, but God is saying, I'm giving you victory over all your needs. Amen? So let's also turn our Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verses 22 onwards. I will read John chapter 6 verse 22. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Which means to say that there was a place where Jesus had multiplied the bread. The disciples had gone ahead. Jesus also followed them walking on the water. And they had gone to the other side. Now these guys, when they found that Jesus was not here, they went looking for Jesus. It's a good thing to go looking for Jesus. Yes or no? Yeah, how many of us came here seeking Jesus? Right. So they went there, and then look at what happens, verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into the boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him. Verse 28. Then they said to him, What shall we do that we may work the works of God? 29. Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. The disciples were asking, Listen, what should we do? What should we do that we may be found acceptable before God for the bread? Right? And they said, Jesus said, the work of God that God accepts is that you believe in him whom God has sent, which is Jesus Christ himself. But he doesn't answer it there directly. Right? Look at verse 30. Therefore they said to him, What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? That means to say that they were not willing to believe a claim of Jesus over there. What was the claim? If you look back in John 6 and verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. Now, one of the signs of the Messiah, that Jesus was the Messiah, was that he would fulfill what Moses said in Deuteronomy 8:15, where he said, God would raise another prophet among you. Him you should listen, him you should believe. Now, these people, when Jesus claimed that he was the Messiah, they were not willing to accept it. So then they are asking, What work will you do, Jesus? What sign are you going to show us now that we should believe that you are the Messiah? And then they put a claim to Jesus saying, Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And now comes our verse 32. Jesus said to them, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, verse 34, Lord, give us this bread always. These people had a need for bread, right? Why does God allow us to have needs? If God is an all-sufficient God, if God is a provider, and if God is the one who's able to meet all our needs, why should we have need in the first place? Why should we have a need in the first place? Why? Because we would seek him with understanding. We would seek him with understanding. When Jesus met the need of these people, the Bible records one thing. If we turn to Mark chapter 6, verse 52. Mark chapter 6, verse 52. It says, for they had not understood about their loaves because their hearts were hardened. When the 5,000 were fed, the disciples were miffed, because of which they did not understand what the Lord was doing in their midst. Now, why was the hearts of the disciples hardened? That they could not follow what Jesus was saying or doing over there. It was because probably they would have thought, if he could multiply bread like this, why does he make us run around? If you remember the incident in the Samaritan village, Jesus says, we have run short of bread, go get meat, go get bread. And these guys go searching for bread. Whereas these 5,000 have to do nothing, bread comes to them easily. Right? Sometimes we ask God, when we see others' testimony, Lord, why not me? Right? It's good. It's good to have testimonies, and it's good to desire testimonies. If someone else, God blesses, it's good to desire, and it's good to keep hope in the Lord. But what if God does not want to meet your need that way? That could have made their hearts hardened. Lord, you raised up Lazarus. Why not John the Baptist? They could have asked that question to the Lord. Remember, all this happens after this, before this incident. So they were having apprehensions of the claim of who he was. Probably many of them would not have understood why he came. If he's doing it for others, why not me? Follower of Christ, have you asked this question any time? I don't want a show of hands, but I want us to introspect. Has that question ever crossed our mind? Be truthful to ourselves. If God is doing it for others, then why not me? But what does God look for? Turn our Bibles to Psalm 14, verse 2. Psalm 14, verse 2. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Looking for any who understand, who seek God. God looks for understanding in his children when they are seeking him. Remember Solomon. When God gave Solomon wisdom in 1 Kings 4:29, the Bible says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding, and largeness of heart like the sands on the seashore. Which means to say, he had a breadth of mind along with the wisdom that he had to understand. To understand. So that we will not be narrow-minded concerning his ways. The disciples had become narrow-minded. God had a greater purpose. When their immediate need was not met, but when others' need were met, they lacked understanding. They lacked discernment about what God was doing. And therefore, they could not follow him towards his purpose. God looks for us to have understanding, even through our needs, so that we would seek him with understanding. Amen. God allows needs in our lives so that we will believe him for who he is more than for what he does. We will believe him for who he is more than for what he does. It was not just the people, the disciples who were annoyed. Even the people were annoyed with him because he made a claim that he has come from above. I came from heaven. And they said, no, this guy is from Joseph's house. Is he not the carpenter? How can he say that he came from heaven? I saw him coming from his house 10 years ago. Now he says he's coming from heaven. Jesus, I think there's something wrong with you. I think you are hungry. I think you have not eaten. That is what they would be thinking. They would be thinking he's deranged. But see what he says in John 6, verse 26. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. In other words, the reason people came seeking Jesus was not because he claimed that he was the Messiah, but because of what he did. He was multiplying bread over there, so they thought, this is good business. We can be consumers and customers if we keep on coming. And that's why they said, Lord, give us this bread always. Not just once, this bread always. So that I don't have to bother about that part. Sometimes we tell God, God, if you meet this need of mine, rest everything is fine. Right? Just this need, Lord. This alone I'm asking. I don't want anything else. This need if you meet, then nothing else is required. I can take care of everything else. These people, remember, they were a mixed multitude. They were Jews, there were others over there, and they were saying, Lord, give us this bread always so that we can always sit at your feet and listen to you. It's a good need. No, it's not a bad need. After all, it's a matter of the belly. Right? But Jesus said, you are not seeking me for the sign. Now, it's a sign that makes someone distinguished for the Lord's eternal purpose. When Jesus performed that sign, it showed that he was someone who was set apart from everything else, distinguished for God's purpose, and that they didn't want to know. But they wanted what he gave. In other words, they wanted to also remain as consumers, satisfied with their earthly needs being met. Nothing wrong in having needs and nothing wrong in expecting God to meet our material, our physical, all those needs. But the Lord was saying, I have not come here just to meet that need, but I'm here to fulfill a greater need. He had done this to fulfill that prophecy. We saw that a few moments ago, that he was a prophet from, that according to Moses, what Moses had said, that I will raise a prophet from among you. He was that. They said that truly you are a prophet. They confessed with their mouth, but their hearts were far from believing that. How do we see that? Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 22. This is Peter after Christ has resurrected. To the Jews, Peter is testifying, this is the Christ whom you crucified. Acts 3:22, he says, for Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him shall you hear in all things, whatever he says to you. These people had forgotten that. But instead, they were looking at how he can meet their need. Today, you and I are here with one need or the other. But when we are looking to him for our need, yes, he is the healer. Yes, he is powerful enough to deliver. Yes, he answers prayer. Are we willing to look beyond all these things? Because he said one more thing, which we need to keep reminding ourselves. Because Peter says, brethren, do not forget, one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. Remember, he has said, I am the soon and coming King. Revelations 1 verse 7. Revelation 1 verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Are we prepared to meet him? Are we prepared? Ask your neighbor, are you prepared? Are you prepared to meet him? When John met him, he could not stand. The disciple who was at the bosom of the Lord, when he met the resurrected Lord, of course, he saw him in the spirit. He could not see him in the flesh. That is what we see in the book of Revelation. When he saw him, he fell down. He could not stand. He could not stand. That is the Lord who's coming. He's not coming again in the form of a servant. No, no, no. He's coming to establish his throne. Are you and I prepared to meet him? Why does God allow us to have needs? So that we will know him for who he is more than what he does. Again, why does God allow us to have needs? So that we will know his fulfillment of our greatest need. Greatest need. If you ask Elon Musk what is his greatest need, and if you ask someone else on the road what is his greatest need, like for instance, if you ask someone who's cleaning the road, what is your greatest need? He will say, I want 3 meals. Right? There is a scale of needs that each person has according to his cadre in the world. I'm not talking about otherwise. In the world, there is a set of expectation and needs based on people who are found in different walks of life. Right? A doctor would want rest. A patient would want the place of the doctor. Yeah? But here, the Lord knows our greatest need. Turn with me to Luke 9, verse 25. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? In other words, what gain is it to me if all my physical needs are met, but my spirit is destitute. It is held captive by sin, unable to experience the forgiveness of God or the love of God. What is any gain to me if all my needs are met, but my spirit is empty? That's what Jesus is asking over there. Man's greatest need is salvation. And that is what the Lord knows very, very well. He knows each of our minute needs, but He knows our greatest need, that which sometimes we know not of, that which sometimes we numb ourselves of. And we try to fill ourselves with various other needs. And that is why in John 6:35, Jesus said to them, John 6 verse 35, I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me, what does your Bible say? The one who comes to me will not be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus is saying, I not only meet your physical need, but I am the one who meets your greatest spiritual need. I can fulfill it, provided you are willing to come to me. You don't need to bring any other transaction. There is no transaction expected here. All I expect of you is to come to me. I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will not be hungry. In other words, what he's saying over there is that there is a nourishment that I can provide for one to live eternally. We sang, no? Jehovah is your name. What is Jehovah? Our brother was explaining to us on the pre-victory night prayers. The self-existent one. The uncreated one, the one does not need anything to exist. He's self-existent, because of which he's the creator, because of which he's able to rule over all things. The self-existent one is willing to give a self-existent life unto us. This life that we have on this portion of the world will one day go away. It's like a flower, it fades away. We might think we have 70, 80 years. Good, let's think all that. But what happens when it fades? What happens when it fades? God is willing to put in us that self-existent life through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is why He said, I am the bread of life, the bread that gives self-existent life, for which you don't need to labor. But there is one work that you need to do. What is that? He said that also. Believe in me, or believe in him whom God has sent. I am the one who sent of God, not me, Jesus. He is the one who sent of God. Believe in him. Not only do you come to him and believe him, he also says, consume me. John 6 verse 51. John 6 verse 51. Are we there? Are we there? Can I hear a hallelujah if you're there? Hallelujah. I didn't hear everyone. Hallelujah. I didn't hear at all. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go. John 6 51. Let's read 1, 2, go. All of us louder. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats from this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I will give for the life of the world also is my flesh. Not only do you come to him, but be willing to consume him. Now, for some of us, it will look repulsive. I'm a vegetarian. Now, for me to think that I should consume someone's flesh, I should eat someone's flesh,
That is the same thing that the Jews thought. They said, he's asking us to eat flesh and blood. How is that possible? We are not cannibals. But then the Lord was saying something else. More than that, he was not talking in the physical. He was talking about the spiritual need. He said in John 6 verse 63, the words that I give you, they are spirit and they are life. Which means what I'm speaking to you pertains to spiritual things. It pertains to things that matter for that self-existent life. When you try to equate it with your physical needs, you might become blinded. Instead, if you believe in me and if you come to me, I will show you how to consume of me. Amen. And he said, I come so that the world will also have this life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only and begotten Son, so that whosoever will believe him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. The world does not have the life from God. The world has existence. The world exists today. We don't know how long the world is going to exist. But we know one thing, that this world will face the judgment of God. We call it global warming now. But the Bible says that there will come a time when the elements of the earth will be consumed by fire. We might increase our ACs now, but what happens on that day of God's judgment? The world does not have a life to derive from. And Jesus is saying, the world is not able to draw life from God because of sin. Because of sin. I was in the world, I could not know God because I am a sinner. And when I came to know the love of Christ, when I came to know the sacrifice that Christ paid on my behalf on the cross, that is when his death became life in me. I am the bread. My flesh I give so that it will become life in you. It is by faith that life comes. The self-existent life of God in a believer comes because of God's work, not because of our transactions. Amen. When I consume the truth of his sacrifice, when I believe and when I feed on that truth, I have his life in me. I thought I would hear a hallelujah. That is how God wants to impart life to anyone who comes to him. And that is why he says, anyone who comes to me, I will by no means cast away. My sin may be huge, I may not be able to carry it, but the moment I come to him and say, Lord, I am a sinner, forgive me, he's willing to take that away, provided I come to him in repentance. Verse 55 of John 6, for my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. True means something that cannot be hidden. Some of us hide food and eat. Yeah? Have you hidden food and eaten sometime? Yeah? I have hidden sometimes. I didn't want my friends to have this portion, so I will hide and eat. But the evidence of the eating will be there somewhere. Right? But here, the Lord is saying, the evidence of having him will be shown in your life, in the way you live, in the way he transforms you. I am the bread of life. My flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Another picture of eating. I want us to also imagine, how many of us have seen rust? Rust, corrosion. Our brother Marcus would be able to explain to us the whole process, right? Corrosion. What happens when rust consumes iron? Brother Marcus, can we recognize iron after rust has consumed it? What happens to its strength? What happens to its conductivity? What happens to all its characteristics? It changes to start looking more like what it has been consumed by. In the same way, you and I have a certain form of strength. We have a certain form of sensitivity. We have a certain form of conditioning. All those things we have. But the moment we are consumed by Christ, slowly but surely, one by one, he starts taking over all of you. That is what happens when you start feeding into Christ. When you start feeding into him, when you become his consumer, I am not talking in the commercial sense, when you allow to be consumed. There are many things that we allow to be consumed by, yes or no? We are consumed by many things. Half of the world is consumed by a match that is happening today. 2 days back, it was somewhere else. Half of the world is consumed by something that's happening in their hands. What are you consumed by? Ask your neighbor, what are you consumed by? God wants to reveal that he is our greatest need and he is able to fulfill. If he has fulfilled our greatest need, we have victory over all other needs. Amen. In that fulfillment of God meeting our greatest need, our victory is revealed. That fulfillment of our victory is revealed. I want to read Romans 8:32 from the Message version. Romans 8 verse 32, the Message version. If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, if God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? If God sent his son to the world while we were yet enemies to him, and if God allowed his son to die on the cross to meet our greatest need, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Come on, church, I'm asking you, is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. There is nothing that is too hard for him. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able. Everyone say, God is able. To make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. You shall not lack for any good work in Jesus' name. Because God is able to meet your greatest need, you shall not lack any good thing. Philippians 4, verse 12 and 13. How a life of victory is revealed over every need. Paul says in the prison, He's saying, I know how to be, are we there? I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Which means to say, I have the perspective, the courage, the empowerment, the overcoming to live over every need and to live over everything that is in surplus as well. In both situations, I know how to remain victorious. And in Philippians 4:19, he goes to say, and this God who has made me an overcomer shall supply all your needs. How? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, you and I might have come with one need or the other. And that need might be looking at something very pressing. Let's turn to the book of Judges. If you remember the story of Gideon, Gideon, when the Midianites and the others had come attacking, God sends someone to him and says that, listen, I am making you, I am giving you victory over the Midianites. And Gideon says, listen, God, I think you've come to the wrong address. I am the least. I don't have anything. I cannot do this. The need of victory is beyond my reach. I cannot do anything. Then God says in Judges chapter 6, verse 14, then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. God is sending Gideon there, but then Gideon puts tests before God and God confirms. But before Gideon goes to his, God even filters out his army. And before the day of the battle, God again comes to Gideon and says, let's look at Judges 7, verses 9 to 11. Judges 7, verses 9 to 11. That night the Lord said, get up, go down into the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. Look at the graciousness of God in verse 10. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant, Purah. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack, my Bible says. From the point of reluctance, you will be now eager. And look further down in verses 13 and 14. Gideon creeps up into the camp. In verse 13, Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his companion about a dream. The man said, I had this dream. And in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent and turned over and knocked it flat. Tell your neighbor, knocked it flat. Knocked it flat. His companion answered in verse 14, your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, the son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all his allies. That, in another translation, that guy was saying, that bread is nothing but the sword of Gideon. What am I saying here? You might have a huge need, but a bread has already come down and made you strong over every challenge as long as you have consumed of that bread. The bread that has come from heaven. When you have consumed of that, you have the strength not to stay back and run away from your need, but to meet it head on. Because he's more than able to make you an overcomer. I know how to be abased. I know how to be abound. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I call the choir forward. I call the choir forward. Everyone onto your feet. Let's pray. Let's pray. All eyes closed. If there is anyone here who has not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are struggling in your sin. You do not have any understanding as to how to get out of it, but you want to come out of it. You want to be right with God and before God. And you have heard the gospel that God sent his Son for your sin, to die on the cross for your sake, so that you would be found perfect before God by the means of his sacrifice. All eyes closed. If you are that person here and you want to receive the forgiveness of God, I want you to confess before God and ask of him. If you want to raise your hands, you may freely, that he may see it. But remember, he sees your heart more than your hand. And if you are having a repentant heart before God, and if you have believed that Jesus Christ is the bread that came from heaven to forgive you of your sin, today, receive him. Receive him into your heart. Allow yourself to be consumed in him. Father, you know the hearts of your children. Whoever has turned to you tonight, pass them not, O gentle Savior. Hear their cry and deliver them from their desperation in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this time that you have given us. And Lord, there are many who are here with one need or the other, some voiced, some unvoiced. But you are God who has given victory over all our needs. Lord, as they come here, Lord, let their victory manifest. Let them take hold of their victory in the name of Jesus. If anyone has a need and want to agree with any of the elders or pastors in prayer, please, you may come forward. If anyone has a need, can I call the elders forward? Can I call our pastors forward? Brother Marcus, pastors, Pastor Francis, Pastor Abraham. If anyone.
Amen. Victory over your needs. I have victory over my need already. Tell somebody beside you that I have victory over my need. I will testify to the glory of God. Amen, in Jesus' name. One of the scripture brother used as he was exhorting us here, he says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That is Philippians 4:19. And 20 verse says, "Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever." Amen. That means your need that have been fulfilled have been perfected forever and ever in the mighty name of Jesus. Hold this psalm into your hand. This Psalm 16 verse 8. he says, I said the Lord before me. Because of what? He's at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Let's appreciate God for this beautiful message we have received today. Appreciate God that, God, I thank you because you supply all my need according to your riches. That you have enabled me to consume your word. You have enabled me to be a consumer that consume your word, and you make me whole. Begin to appreciate God. For God counting you worthy to be here tonight, it means you are not just a customer, but a consumer. Appreciate God. God, I thank you that you have placed my foot in the path of righteousness. Appreciate God that God has allowed you to have this salvation. That is the great need which you have had. It is the perfection of Jesus Christ in your life. Lord, I thank you for counting me worthy to be part of Victory Night for this month. I thank you, Lord. Begin to thank God for all that he has done in the past. Open your mouth and pray to him. Appreciate him for all the victory he has given unto you. Right from January, February, March, April, May. And this is June. Here you are. You are moving into the next month that all your needs have been perfected. All your needs have been provided because God is always at your right hand. And nothing will move you. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We glorify you, Lord, for your word that we have heard today. Thank you, Father, for providing for our needs. Thank you, Lord, that you make us to be a consumer, not just customer. Father, we lift your name up, we glorify you. Being thou exalted in the mighty name of Jesus. Everlasting Father, for the foundation that you have laid today, we pray that you continue to be over it, build over it for us in the mighty name of Jesus. For this coming month, our victory shall be bigger in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever be our concern, that God will perfect it in Jesus' name. At this point, we pray for people that are sick, wherever they may be, all over the world. Let the hand of your healing, let it be upon them in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father, for your servant that you have used for all this night. We pray for more anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. That the depth of wisdom and knowledge you are giving unto him shall never dry up in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless him, bless the work of his hand, and bless his family so that you continue to provide for his need and we can receive more from him in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I want to thank you for everyone that are here this night. Thank you, Lord, for giving their testimony. We appreciate you for counting them worthy to be here. And as they go, they shall continue to rejoice in your perfection in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever be their heart desire, Father, as they table it before you, it shall be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. We want to thank you for all our programs for this year, most especially the remaining program, that your name shall continue to be glorified. You have perfected the half of this year for us. The remaining half shall be to your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. As we go to our different homes, let your presence go with us in Jesus' name. And when we meet here by Friday, your name shall be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. And as many as may be traveling this week, Father, go ahead of them in Jesus' name. Let them go with testimony and return with testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. And we remember our members that have traveled. They have gone safely and they shall return safely in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Shall we share the grace together in fellowship? And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you all.